We're going to get started in just a minute, but before we do, there's a few announcements. You've heard all these announcements before, but you haven't heard them at this wedding, so I'll say them here. If you want to follow the wedding, it's in the red prayer books on page 423. Page 423, lots of times people bring cameras to weddings. Click, click, click. And you can take pictures through the entrance of the bride, but after the bride is up here, we ask you to hold off on any pictures till the end of the wedding. Okay? Sometimes people bring things to throw at weddings. Rice, birdseed, dry fish. If you're going to throw anything, throw it outside the church. If you brought dry fish to throw, talk to me after the service. What else do we know? After the wedding, they'll be coming back in here for pictures and paperwork. They'll meet you at the reception up in Alaska Land afterwards. Traditionally, you all remain seated till the bride is about to make her entrance. You'll hear the music change. I'll go like this. That means please stand up and then remain standing till later on in the service when I ask you to sit down. But the more important announcements are about who you are and what's going to happen. At the heart of the wedding are the promises and vows they will make to each other. And not only are you family and friends and folks trying to get out of the rain, you're the people of God. And in a moral, legal, and spiritual sense, you are witnesses of the promises that they'll make. And as such, then, you have an important role. Twice in the service, you're going to have to say something. Fairly early in the service, I'll look over their heads and will say to you, well, all of you who have witnessed these promises, do everything in your... all of you who have witnessed these promises, do everything in your power to uphold these two persons in their marriage. And you should say loudly and enthusiastically, we will, so they know they have your support as they begin this relationship. Similarly, fairly near the end of the service, after they've exchanged their vows and their rings, and just like the movies, I pronounce their husband and wife, those whom God has joined together, let no one put asunder, then you say again loudly and enthusiastically, amen. The Hebrew word for so be it. This has happened. It's a good thing. We're all better because of it. Yay, hooray. Yippee is all wrapped up in that amen. And that's the way it ought to come out so that they can hear us across the river. And having said all of that, I think we're ready to begin. Thank you. Here we go. Dearly beloved, we have come together now in the presence of God to witness and bless the joining together of this man and this woman in holy matrimony. The bond and covenant of marriage was established by God in creation. And our Lord Jesus Christ adorned this manner of life by his presence and first miracle at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. It signifies to us the mystery of the union between Christ and his church, and Holy Scripture commends it to be honored among all people. The union of husband and wife, and heart, body, and mind, is intended by God for the mutual joy, for the help and comfort given one another in prosperity and adversity, when it's God's will for the procreation of children and their nurture in the knowledge and love of the Lord. Therefore, marriage is not to be entered into unadvisedly or lightly, but reverently, deliberately, and in accordance with the purposes for which it was instituted by God. Into this holy union, Stanford, Gerald Edwin, and Louise Marie McCruliff now come to be joined. If anyone in here can show just cause why they may not lawfully be married, speak now, or else forever hold your peace. And I require and charge you both, here in the presence of God, that if either of you know any reason why you may not be united in marriage lawfully and in accordance with God's word, you do now confess it. Louise, will you have this man now to be your husband, to live together in the covenant of marriage? Will you love him, comfort him, honor and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to him as long as you both shall live?
I will.
Stanford, will you have this woman now to be your wife, to live together in the covenant of marriage? Will you love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to her as long as you both shall live? Will all of you who have witnessed these promises do everything in your power to uphold these two persons now in their marriage?
We will. We will.
Who gives this woman to be married to this man?
I do.
Hang on. The Lord be with you now. As we remain standing for a minute, let us pray. O gracious and ever-living God, you have created us male and female in your image. Look mercifully now upon this man and this woman who come to you today seeking your blessing, and assist them with your grace, that with true fidelity and steadfast love, they may indeed honor and keep the promises and vows they make through Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. The congregation may be seated, and we'll just hang out for a minute. The first reading, as selected, is from the book of Tobit. Tobias said to Sarah, "We praise thee, O God of our fathers. We praise thy name forever and ever. Let the heavens and all the creation praise thee forever.
Thou madest Adam and Eve his wife to be his helper and support, and those two were the parents of the whole human race. This was thy word, that it's not good for the man to be alone. Let us make a helper like him. I now take this, my beloved, to wife, not out of lust, but in true marriage. Grant now that she and I may find mercy and grow old together. And they both said amen and slept through the night. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from the New Testament, the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice at the wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is imperfect, and our prophecy is imperfect. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect passes away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I gave up those childish ways. For now we see only in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. So finally, faith, hope, love, abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. There ends the second reading, the word of the Lord. The third and final reading is from the Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female, and for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God joins together, let no one put asunder." And then they were bringing children to him, that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let children come to me, and don't hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, 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 I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them all up into his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. There ends the third and final reading, the word of the Lord. Now, it's really a short 4-minute sermon. And I always say the same thing, because I'm always overcome at weddings by that moment when the bride walks through that door, and you all were too, that's why everybody clapped. In the picture story of Genesis, God creates all there is, and after he creates, as he creates everything, he says, "That's good." Let there be light. Light. He says, it's good. He creates all there is through those 6 days of creation. Sun and moon and stars and grass and mosquitoes and fish and willows and everything else there is. Elephants and turtles and polka dots and ice cream and soup and everything there is. He creates. And as he creates everything, he says, that's good. And then at the very end of the story, he creates Adam and Eve. And Eve walks up that aisle, and Adam's heart leaps and sings and all. And then on Saturday, God looks at everything there is and says, that's very good. And so we play out that drama right here this afternoon.
That God looks at all there's been to get you to this moment. And through all of that, says, yay, that's really good. And as God says that, all the angels in heaven, seen and unseen, begin clapping and yelling. That's the heavenly host sitting out there. And you're Adam and she's Eve. And it all begins now. It's all brand new. It all begins. You ready? You ready? Can I do it? Come on up this way. Bless, O Lord, these rings to be signs of the vows by which this man and this woman have now bound themselves to each other. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I honor you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May it be His way. As you put it on this blessing, you say, Stanford, I give you this ring as a symbol of my heart and for all that I am and all that I have. I honor you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Stanford and Louise have given themselves to each other by solemn vows, with the joining of hands and the giving and receiving of rings. I pronounce that they are husband and wife in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those whom God has joined together, let no one put asunder.
Amen.
Please stand now. And as we stand, let us pray together in the words our Savior has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, creator and preserver of all life, author of salvation and giver of all grace, look with favor upon the world you've made, and for which your Son gave his life, and especially now upon this man and this woman, whom you make one flesh in holy matrimony. Amen. Give them wisdom and devotion in the ordering of their common life, that each may be to the other now a strength and need, a counselor in perplexity, a comfort in sorrow, and a companion in joy. Amen. Grant that their wills may be so knit together in your will, and their spirits in your spirit, that they may grow in love and peace with you and one another all the days of their life. Amen.
Amen.
Give them grace when they hurt each other, to recognize and acknowledge their fault, and to seek each other's forgiveness and yours. Amen. Make their life together now a sign of Christ's love to the sinful and broken world, showing the unity overcomes separation, forgiveness heals guilt, and joy always conquers despair. Amen. Bestow on them, if it is your will, the gift and heritage of children, and the grace to bring them up to know you, to love you, and to serve you. Amen. Give them such fulfillment of their mutual affection that they may reach out in love and concern for others. Amen. Grant that all married persons who have witnessed these vows today now may find their lives strengthened and their loyalties confirmed. Amen. And finally, grant that the bonds of our common humanity, by which all your children are united one to another and the living to the dead, may be so transformed by your grace that your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven, where, O Father, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, you live and reign in perfect unity, now and forever. Amen. Excuse me.
most gracious God. We give you thanks for your tender love in sending Jesus Christ to come among us, to be born of a human mother, and to make the way of the cross to be the way of life. And we thank you also for consecrating the union of man and woman in his name. By the power of your Holy Spirit, pour out the abundance of your blessing upon this man and this woman. Defend them now from every enemy. Lead them into all peace. Let their love for each other be a seal upon their hearts, a mantle about their shoulders, and a crown upon their heads. Bless them in their work, in their companionship, in their sleeping, in their waking, in their joys, in their sorrows, in their life, and in their death. Finally, in your mercy, bring them together to that table where your saints feast forever in your heavenly home through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever and ever. Amen. The God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you. The Lord mercifully with his favor look upon you and fill you with all spiritual blessing and grace, that you may faithfully live together in this life and in the age to come, and have joy and life everlasting. Amen. As soon as I get you, spouse, and technically don't happen to all this meat, and the music is still up and you can
so you guys stand up.
And then you get the kisser.